Hello everyone, I'm doing a special interview today with my friend Josh Beyer with Beyer Carpet Cleaning in San Antonio, Texas. Josh has got a bit of a unique story that we're gonna just jump right into here in just a second. Really, why I was interested in interviewing him because he's had some success in the cleaning industry, and I always think that it's a great thing to identify one that the cleaners that have had notable success, but two, the cleaners that have a lot, like sometimes I have, and a lot like a lot of you have. Everybody's human, right? We all struggle, we all make mistakes, but maybe some of the mistakes that we made and kind of the journeys that we went through to get to success to where we're at today. So, welcome, Josh. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing well. How
Good,
about
good.
yourself?
Yeah, so I'm doing great. Thank you so much for coming on here and agreeing to do this interview. Really what we want to do today is just go over some stuff just to help some of these cleaners who are just trying to grow and trying to provide for their families and for their retirement and all of that. So, how long have you been in business? What year did you actually start in the cleaning business?
2013.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
2013, yeah.
And what made you, I mean, why in the world? And it was carpet cleaning initially that you only were doing. Why in the world, right?
Why pick carpet cleaning out of everything,
Right.
right? So, kind of just a funny backstory. I was a manager for a staffing company that I worked my way up to the position at a very young age, and I was running a branch here in San Antonio and multiple other branches like in Houston and Dallas I was helping out with. And I was making, I mean, I was hitting six figures a year as an employee at like 23 years old. And I got written up one day, and it was kind of a wild situation with, no explanation. Apparently, a lot of managers were being written up on that same day for, whatever reason. And they called it lack of production, and it was in January. So of course there was a
Of
little bit of a lack of production in
course.
January, as we all know, right?
Right.
So in every business, right? So it made me nervous, and I didn't know how I could make $100,000 a year with no education, with no college education other than like selling cars for 80 hours a week where I had a family, and that was not gonna be an option, And so I thought about like, well, if they fire me, I can go to one of their competitors, or maybe I can't because there's a non-competition clause. I don't know how that holds up or not, but at the end of the day, it just made me nervous about my job security. And so I went to go research different companies that would be profitable if I were to open one and borrow some money and get machinery for whatever the case would be. And so I looked at everything. I looked at landscaping, I looked at pest control, I looked at obviously like the major trades like plumbing and electrical are obviously ruled out because I don't have licenses in those areas. You didn't go through the apprentice journeyman master process, so those weren't viable, right? And
Right.
I was looking at the fact that, like twice a year, just because we're pretty clean people, I would hire a carpet cleaner, right, to come to my house.
There
And
you go.
I thought about every time I was like, what I paid him, and I was trying to calculate like, if I had that many jobs, X many jobs in a day going on, making that much money, and I'm spending, Y on, the truck, chemicals, all that kind of stuff. How much money would that be per year, right? And how many jobs could I realistically get per day? And how could I get these jobs? So, like, at that point in time, around 2013, you had things like Craigslist could actually get you jobs, and a lot of
Yeah.
them, which is crazy. Free advertising, basically, right?
It was easier back then.
It was easy to swing the bat, and Google Ads were like butter back then, and I'm
Right.
sure there's a way for Google Ads to be great now, but back then they were just a real, real easy to play with. You could be someone that was not experienced clicking buttons and make your phone ring, and you just throw out money, and you make money.
Yeah.
So it was it was something that I looked into, and I even made let's get this. So I even made like fake ads as if I was gonna open the company before I opened the company, just to see if my phone would ring
I like that.
and my phone was banging off. I wasn't,
Yeah.
I'm not talking about like a website and all that kind of stuff. I'm just talking about
Right.
just a Craigslist post, you know,
That's
things like
good
that.
market research. I mean, probably not today, but maybe a Facebook ad or a small amount of money spent on Facebook ads. But yeah, that's smart.
Yeah, and I didn't even have a website up at the time. You know, I just wanted to see like, would I get any kind of response? And my phone rang off of nothing. So I said, you know what? I think I could get like four jobs a day of it. I could get myself to four jobs a day, possibly. I'm thinking at this time, right? And if I times that by, you know, the average job times four. And what I would spend on financing the equipment, I was like, you know, this sounds like it's pretty lucrative. I don't have to have any licensing that's specific. I just have to educate myself and, you know what I'm doing and get the job done right. Like carpet cleaning is rocket science, which is the greatest thing about it. You know, it's a pretty easy field to work in. I essentially just, you know, got rocking, opened the website, bought the equipment, got going, and you know, at that time when advertising was a little bit easier, the engine just revved up pretty quick. You know, it was just a, you know, a good start. We got to a point where in our first year, so I hadn't left my job, by the way. I was still at my job running this company, you know, under a write-up. And this is now like, I don't know, somewhere between 6 and 9 months later after I got written up. And I'm running this company now, took a week off to learn the machine and learn the chemicals and all that kind of stuff. Had my best friend kind of help me out and do the technician work, you know, all that kind of stuff while I was at work, and I'm jumping back and forth. My cousin who worked for me at that company kind of like covered my bases at the office so I could go check on my business and stuff like that. And I would just bonus him out at the end of the month, like personally, you know? And so just to cover my rear. And so it got to the point where my carpet cleaning business that I had opened while I was employed at a company, was now making me just as much, if not more, than the company was making me.
Perfect,
I was
perfect.
gonna have my third child. I was like, there's no way I can manage this company and then still work here at the same time or whatever, right?
Right.
So I basically, you know, called my manager and I said, hey, look, you know, I'm really sorry, you know, I need to put my 2 weeks in, right? And then so he's like, you know, why are you doing this? I said, well, you know, when you guys wrote me up, you basically really scared me. You made me feel like I was on the chopping block and I had to figure out some solid solution that I could control my own destiny a little bit with. They actually asked me to not give them a 2 weeks notice. They asked me for a 3 months notice, and they offered me a nice little bonus to stick around to train someone that could take over my position at my level.
Well, that's nice. Did you take it?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Because
yeah.
they offered me a nice bonus. You know,
Right,
they
right.
offered me a nice bonus.
Why not?
I left on great terms with everybody, you know.
Yeah.
It was a really fun situation.
Good.
It was a growth situation rather than an explosion or something like that, right? And everyone kind of understood. They were just like, hey, man, well, we appreciate what you've done for us and, you know, let me on my way without any bother. And so for the first few years, like, you know, we just started taking off, you know, through just basic things like Craigslist ads, Facebook ads, Google ads, you know, doing all the basic stuff, on-page SEO, all the essentials, right? And
Sure. So many cleaning companies start that way. I know I did. I was working at a hotel and I was still in college, and basically I started the cleaning business, and I think everybody else at the hotel knew that I was just a front desk clerk, right? And I thought, yeah, maybe I'll keep doing this and be in management, you know, maybe make 60 a year. That's what my manager made at the time, you know, if I'm lucky, you know. And I was like,
right.
wait a minute, I need more money than that. But two, kind of like you just said, I was worried about the If you ever looked at your manager wrong, you could get fired, you could get laid off, or God only knows what could happen. You have no control. And I wanted more time off. I mean, just lots of reasons. But I think a lot of cleaning company owners start for that same kind of reason. They got laid off, and I've talked to a lot of guys like that. And then they start part-time, which is smart, especially if you've got kids. Hardly anybody can afford to just jump right in right away unless you already have some money socked away. Sometimes you have to do it in necessity. I get it, but I think you did it the smart way. And so then, how long, we don't have to talk about numbers, much, but even from the beginning, how long at the beginning did it even take you to get to doing maybe $100,000, $200,000 a year, just vaguely, just so that some of the guys know,
First year, I was over $100,000.
Cool,
For
cool.
my first like 12 months, because I started in spring, but like if you count the first 12 months, it was definitely over $100,000.
Cool.
Within a couple of years, 2, 3 years, like I don't really remember. We had bought a second truck, and so had two guys running two vans, average between like 3 and 4 jobs a day, on both vans, and things were going great, and doubled our income from the first year, the second year, or third, second or third year, whatever the case was. I was at about double the rate of what I came in at for my first year. And then so I was like, oh, this is great. And then I got really comfortable because I found myself like profiting like a little over, six figures. And I was like, you know what? I live in a modest house. I drive two brand new cars. Like, I'm okay with this, right? I'm okay with this. And I don't know how to really grow past this, so I guess this is just, where I'm at. And I became very complacent, and
It's easy to get that way,
it is it is
Yeah.
easy to, it is it's very easy. But also at that time, keep in mind, like that kind of money at that time was really, it was decent. Like you're actually profiting, really well. Like, you're making over 100 grand a year, that kind of thing, and to yourself after everything's said and done. And it felt comfortable, at that time. Now it's a little bit different. I mean, shoot, you can barely make it on 100 grand a year these days,
Right. Need to be doing 200 now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's double up
Yeah.
for sure. And so I got really flat with the business. Everything stayed very much afloat, but it was just that, afloat. It was just like the same thing every day. And I found myself like, I don't know, this kind of sounds silly, but just, wondering what the purpose of life was. So I got into like some things that are kind of weird, like meditation and psychedelics and all that kind of stuff that I don't really promote now. I don't think that that's the road to go down, but I felt like I was learning all this new stuff, and I was becoming enlightened, and really it was not going to any fruition of anything. It was just teasing my brain and, making me feel better about myself, I suppose.
You were a seeker. You're out and you're seeking a meaning to life, and a lot of people, I think most people get that way at some point. Some people maybe go obliviously through life and never think about stuff like that, but it makes sense, kind of on some weird way. But so what did you find? What did you're seeking, right? What did you find?
It's kind of like this. I like to describe it like this. So it's kind of like, imagine you're going up this trail, right? Imagine you're in the woods and you're going up a trail, and it says at the sign, 1 more mile till the end, right? And you're like, oh, okay, all right, cool, 1 more mile till the end. And you go that mile, and then it's like, just kidding, 5 more miles till the end. And then so you do that, and then it's like you're spinning in circles around this never-ending jumble of information and data that, if you don't have a direct purpose that you're using it for, it's messy. And if you do have a direct purpose of using it, it can still be very dangerous. So, I learned a lot about myself, and about life in general. But most of the stuff was really unfortunate information. You know, like it was like you know, we have to do good from like within ourselves and go outward to help everything in this world survive, whether it be the economy, our families, all this kind of stuff. You know, our businesses, you know, everything like that. But I essentially learned more information than was necessary, and sorry about that. I couldn't organize it, you know, in a way that was helpful while I was in that mode, right? While I was in that mode of like seeking, I just couldn't put it to work, right? So something happened one time on a when I was doing ha taking a trip. It was a large dose, and something really negative happened. And so I just said, you know, this scares me away from this. I don't want to, you know, play with this stuff anymore. You know, it's takes you a little too deep, you know. Then shortly after COVID happened, like a week or two after this, you know, crazy
Wow.
experience, COVID happened. And then it was just like a slap in the face so hard that was like, you've been sitting around for 3 to 4 years. I mean, 3 years, right? Three or 4 years, and doing absolutely nothing, seeking to find a bunch of jumbled up information like a collage with no structure to it. So, you know, what good is it? And then I kind of examined myself and my own personal like qualities and lack of qualities, you know, or whatever you want to call it, right? And I said, you know, there's a lot of things that I need to do because I don't know. Once again, I can't control what's happening right now, right? Like it's another outside source, just like the beginning with the write-up at the company I worked at, right? You get this new like outside sources saying of uncertainty, right? Like we're in lockdowns, crazy rules, crazy law.
COVID was scary, man. It was super scary for me and pretty much everybody that has any concern about society and the world, right?
Yeah, it was a crazy time. And the fortunate thing was is we got more busy during COVID, right? And so I saw like an increase, but I felt this need to say, you know what? We need to take what we're doing right now and like double it up. Like this is not going to be feasible long term, you know, only making, you know, revenue a couple hundred grand a year, maybe touch 300 grand a year every once in a while. Like that's not sustainable for long term when you have employees, trucks, you know, all that kind of stuff, advertising. Like at the end of the day, it wasn't going to be sustainable. So I essentially, you know, looked at, you know, what can I do within my business? And I looked at, you know, things like wood floors and then, you know, adding like things like stone cleaning and polishing. And I was like, oh man, I don't really want to do that stuff. Even though I think they're great trades and I'm all about them for the people out there that do that kind of stuff. I couldn't come to terms with it. And so, I decided instead to focus on exteriors of homes.
Okay.
And so I had a guy come pressure wash my house, and I just, you know, paid the guy to do it and asked him a few questions and asked him a little bit about his machine. And you know, shortly after I went ahead and just, you know, financed the machine totally blindly and kind of silly. I just posted it on in a group, in a pressure washing group. I was like, I just got this, don't know what to do with it, right? What
Typical
do I
entrepreneur.
do,
Typical
right? Like
entrepreneur.
what do I do?
Right.
And so this guy, he was great. I actually just want to give him his flowers. This guy named Heath Phelps, he
Okay.
took me in. He sent me a DM and he basically said, hey man, I'm in the business. I'm an ex like engineer for the military. He was an officer, all this stuff. And he was like, I'm in the business and I'm ready to start this thing. It's gonna be big. Right. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. He's like, I'd be happy to teach you everything I know about pressure washing and soft washing. Soft washing is a great industry, by the way. It'll take you a lot further if you're involved with soft washing than just doing pressure washing. I would say my pressure washing company probably does about 85% is soft washing of the work. So
Nice.
it's definitely where the money's at in that industry, in my opinion. And so he basically showed me everything for free, and the dude, like, he let me stay in his house. And then when I got there were like employees that he had that he was close friends with that worked with him and also lived at his house. And great guy, nice place, everything just was
Now,
great.
is he local or is he
No,
okay?
he was a past in Houston, like past a man, I don't want to misname the town. I think it's like Kingswood or something like that. It sounds familiar, but something like that. But in the Houston area, and he basically like took me on jobs, for like 4 or 5 days and showed me everything and basically just used me for free labor, right? But I learned, so that was such a great fair trade. Like I was so happy to like work for free to learn everything. Like that was awesome, right? And he and when I mean he taught me everything, like this guy didn't hold back. Like he showed me everything and he didn't ask for anything in return other than just like, hey, just when your company's doing well, just send people my way and let people know about me and things like that, right? I had no idea he had plans to like open pressure washing stores and build rigs, and now he's like super successful and probably one of the most successful pressure washers in all of Texas. He's just a great guy, and he taught me a lot, and I went to put it to use, and I marketed it in a similar way.
What's the name of his store like now?
Texas Pressure Washing. I'm gonna look it up.
Be good to give him a shout out, especially anybody that helps you. My gosh, I kind of wish more cleaners would do that. I know there are programs out there that do that guys love. I know Courtney Lee's done some, and Robert Allen, but I kind of wish more
Yeah.
would do that.
Yeah, it is Texas pressure washing, by the way.
Cool.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. He came into the game with a vision. He's gonna take all over Texas, and he has, and he's in some other states as well. And I'm just really proud of his success. It makes me happy to see when other people do really, really well. Like I don't have the envy bone in my body. I look at other people's success and I just get so excited because it makes it very clear that that type of success is attainable for me as well, right? If someone else can do it, and I can probably do it too, or at least come close, right? So, while I'm nowhere where he's at necessarily, essentially we did more than double our numbers by adding pressure washing and soft washing into the mix of carpet cleaning. And then, I'll give another shout out to my superintendent, who when he came on with the company, just as a carpet cleaner, he had a lot of other skills, and I was kind of nervous about tapping into him. But as I had him on pressure washing jobs, and I had him do a few things at my house for me that I needed to have done, like a fence built and a patio done, and all this kind of stuff, I kind of tried him out, and he did amazing work. And so we figured out that not only could we do carpet cleaning, tile cleaning, pressure washing, soft washing, inside, outside, but we could also do landscaping and hardscaping. And the work was coming out great, and our customers were really happy with it. So it was just it's a constant diversification. Make yourself available to where there is a need, right? So if someone has a need, find someone with a need and then fill the need, right? And so I know Courtney took off with Courtney Lee, as you were talking about. He took off wood floors, and that's his thing, man. And he's like the wood floor king, right?
There's a need out there. And the other bigger thing too, from a marketing and sales standpoint, it's not just the need. Somebody could need to quit smoking, and you could have a pill that they take one time that costs 50 cents, and there's people that won't take it. Why? Because they don't want it. They have to want it and need it on some level, but even more so wanted. I don't know, I always like to distinguish that because when you're really thinking about the psychology of sales, that's the important thing, you know. So, but yeah, you gotta figure out that need. And I did the same thing in my cleaning business, and even with Hitman Advertising now. Every service that I do now, every service that I did in my cleaning business, it was usually because, almost always really, because my clients asked for it, right? Because I know they wanted it. If they weren't asking for it already, I didn't want to try to sell somebody stuff that they didn't want, right? So they'd ask me for it, and you know, we put it together at that point. So that's really smart. Let me ask you a couple of questions about your mind shift change, right? So
Sure.
go back to like COVID, right? That hits, and you just, you know, you're scared of COVID, and you decided you wanted to stop doing, you know, the foolishness and the, you know, and you really wanted to get your was it really that you wanted to get your mind right and better? And where did your mind kind of, where did your mind shift change? And you mentioned to me before, like, you've developed more of an attitude of gratitude instead of just like, you know, what was your mind shift at that point?
I would say that, first of all, I would just say the attitude of gratitude is a newer thing, you know, the
Okay.
last like year or two, you know,
Okay.
doing a better job of having an attitude of gratitude. That's a pretty new for me, right? But the mind shift change was really, it was not so much about COVID. It was about, it felt like the government, whoever's in control, I don't know these answers to these things. You know what I mean? But essentially that they can do whatever they want to us at any point in time. So I felt the exact same way as I did when I was working for the company when I got written up. I felt like, okay, if they can tell me when I can work and when I can't work, and you know what I mean? Like when I can go out and can't go out, like, what do I have to do? And so I just decided to try to better myself as a man first. And try to make up in some of those areas that I was lacking, just personally as a man. And then with that automatically came the want and desire to build. You know, as a, you know, I know there's plenty of ladies in this business and all, you know, all flowers to you ladies that are involved in this business, but and just saying as a man, knowing that the government can do whatever they want, they can make whatever rules they want and announce it on television and we all have to follow them. I don't know what to do, so I need to reflect on myself and change some things. Not reflect. I spent too much time reflecting. Now it's time to change some things, right?
We put into action.
Put into action.
Put
But it was
things
more,
into action.
absolutely, but it was more personal first, and then it almost instantly, you know, became when I started changing myself as a man and how I viewed things. Then instantly came the desire to build. And I guess that was kind of like the mind shift that I had at that moment. It was out of fear, it was out of necessity, but sometimes fear drives us to greatness. So I definitely don't, you know, I don't have any regrets or look back on anything as negative. I'm happy it happened the way it did. You know, and so I just started to look at things different. And when I started building, this is the greatest. When I started building and I was seeing the success of the building, it made me fall in love with my business again. It made me, it, all that time that was spent, that was wasted over those few years of being like flat, you know, just making it, you know, it was just a completely different mindset and it felt fun. And owning a business felt exciting to me. And then, you know, when we brought on the superintendent who brought more skills to us, you know, he's not, well, wasn't the superintendent at the time, is now. I just got excited. It was fun. It was like, we're growing, we're doing new, bigger things. And it took a little while for us to do well because as you probably know, in this industry, after all the COVID money dried up from the checks that people were getting, there was a bit of a slump. You know, we all, I think probably industry-wide, we experienced a little bit of a slump and maybe a little of 2022 and maybe a little bit of 2023. But we fought through it and we stuck to our guns on everything and it all ended up, you know, kind of working out for us, you know, praise God. So I just look at, what I have now and what I'm trying to build, and I'm just so thankful that God made a way. And I, you know, he what's the saying? Like, he doesn't give us what we deserve. You know what I mean? Right? He gives us better, And, it was just, I'm just so thankful, because I believe if we put our heads down, or and kind of laser focus into what our vision is and where we want to see our business, and we put all of our energy and effort into that, not forgetting about our families, of course. That takes a lot of energy and time and
For sure.
attention as a man or a father, if you're a father, but just focusing laser at lasering in on the business, and it will grow. You won't find yourself looking and looking and looking for customers to not find them. They exist, whether you're a new company and you're like literally knocking doors or whatever the case is, in a starting stage, right? You're gonna find a yes. You're gonna find someone that has a need. Whether you're doing, internet ads or, super duper targeted mailers, which I think is kind of silly personally, but some people have success with them. So, I mean, I don't know,
I
right?
know lots of people that have had a lot of success, even
Yeah.
myself, but it's some all that just depends on how you do it. But the big thing is find what works for you and keep doing it and build upon it. And like you said, just build it, build it, build it. Right? So developing an attitude of gratitude, laser focusing on building up that business, and what else would you say was a good contributing success factor into that transformation?
Anxiety.
Anxiety.
You gotta kind of, there's a healthy anxiety that I think exists for all of us entrepreneurs where it's not crippling, right? It doesn't have to be, at least. If it is for you, it doesn't have to be, at least, right? But there has to be this concern always that's like, are my guys going to get paid really great money? Is my family going to be able to have whatever they need to have? Like, as a man, we're responsible for protecting and providing, and all this stuff is so important. And so that type of anxiety, making sure that everyone's okay, making sure your employees are happy. I don't mean, and when I say employees are happy, I mean good employees, making sure good employees are happy. If they're not a, if they're, you know, if someone's, if you're pulling dead weight, cut them,
Get rid of, yeah, right away, yeah.
cut the dead weight right away. Find the right
Absolutely.
guys for your team. Practice recruiting, and maybe do a little bit of research on how to recruit really well. Because I've noticed a lot of guys in the industry talk about like they have such a hard time finding good workers and, stuff like that, and guys quitting and doing this crazy stuff on a job. And don't get me wrong, I've dealt with plenty of that too, right? But you can mitigate that like so easily by recruiting in the proper way and paying attention to personality cues and character traits. And someone says something a little bit that kind of like makes you a little concerned in an interview, be concerned. Trust your gut,
The tough thing about maybe not even just our type of business, but small businesses in general is you're the head guy and you're pretty much in charge of being management, marketing, and human resources. So for me, I never had problems like getting busy. I could get my schedule filled for whatever I wanted to do, right? It was managing the employees and sometimes the accounting part that would get to me, but managing the employees, it's like I never managed anybody. How the heck? Why aren't they doing what I told them to do? Right? So you have to maybe take some courses, read some books. Some of it's trial and error, but really learn from somebody else, is really a good thing. And I assume you did some of that, at that point to be able to get better at handling employees. But had you had management experience before?
Oh yeah, I mean, I actually, it's a little unfair, I suppose, because when I was running the staffing company, right, at that one that I left to start the business, I had experience hiring, thousands of people. We probably employed over the course of, two or three years, me being there, 2.5 years, whatever the case was, what the total was. And we were hiring for positions that we didn't even know or understand, like commercial electricians, commercial plumbers. I didn't understand their trades. I was too young to know anything, didn't grow up in the construction industry. But I knew how to interview in a way and ask questions in a way where I could avoid them lying to me. Or if they lied to me, and I knew that they were doing it instantly. For example, rather than asking somebody, hey, can you do this, this, and this? And the answer is obviously going to be yes, no matter what, right? Having them explain to you what they understand about X, Y, or Z, right? And I think that's good. When it comes to carpet cleaning, though, I really like to hire guys with no experience. When it
Usually, me too.
comes to car, I like fresh guys when it comes to that. And I don't want them to have bad habits from other companies or
That's the big problem.
anything
I think
like
I
that.
hired one technician that was actually one of my best technicians, but he worked for Service Master as their main guy. I had to beat the Service Master out of him, almost li not literally, but nearly, to get him
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear
to let
you.
him know that, hey, what's going on here is not the same thing that went on at Service Master. But he was a great technician. So, well, do you have any final concluding thoughts to give everyone?
I think, like, at the end of the day, life is a crazy experience in general, and we can only control things to a limited extent, right? But if we can absolutely maximize our output and try to diversify and be willing to fill needs, I think that we can all do great in this industry. And I encourage, other carpet cleaners. I don't even care if, they're local to me. I encourage them to diversify and get into new things. I don't like to, I'm not a holder. I don't hold back information or gatekeep or anything like that. Like, I'm an open book because people have been open books to me, and it's been very helpful in my business journey. And so I'm thankful for those people. So, if I can be of help in any kind of way, then I'm happy to do that.
I love that. Help enough other people get what they want, and you'll get what you want. That's
I heard that
Zig
was a thing.
Ziglar. Zig Ziglar.
I've heard that was a thing.
And it's true. It's totally true. Well, thank you so much, Josh. I hope everyone got something. I'm sure everyone got something out of this. Go out, grow your cleaning business. Let this be an encouragement, guys. You can do it. If Josh did it, if I did it, you can do it. You have to be committed. You have to be thankful for what you have. You have to put your head down and get to work,
Absolutely.
and you can do it. So, all right. Thank you so much, Josh, for coming on.
Hey, thank you, John. You guys got it. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you. All right.